Hello, everyone. This is Chris Davies with our first installment of Let's Go Read Audio. I'm joined by D.B. Firstman, the author of Hall of Name, Baseball's Most Magnificent Monikers. Hello, D.B. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you for joining me. I was just finishing up your book the other day. It's really interesting, and I know you, there towards the beginning of your book in the introduction, you explain what got you to write this book. But for the people who haven't read this yet, would you mind giving us the short version?
Sure. Well, I've always been into words and puns and spoonerisms and anagrams and things of that nature. And along with the words, I was always interested in the etymologies of names and where people got their names from. And part of one of the pieces of my blog, one of the regular features on my blog, Value Over Replacement Grit, was a salute to the most memorable names in baseball history, where I would give a profile of the player and the etymology of their name, how they got it, whether it was their parents or their siblings named them, or they were born under a full moon, or whatever the circumstance might be, however they got their name. And I wanted to write a book about it, about these names. And so back in 2012, I went to a couple of independent publishers and pitched the idea. And they said, well, personally, we love the idea, but we don't think it's going to sell. And so I sort of stashed that idea away for a while. And then the self-publishing boom hit. And now it's much easier for, independent authors to self-publish books. And I resurrected the idea in 2018, and I decided to put out my own book. This is a self-published venture, and I'm really happy with the way it turned out.
It's quite a book. I mean, you've got some great descriptions of players that I had never heard of throughout here. I mean, 90% of these guys might be people that would otherwise never merit a lot of mentions on the topic of any baseball blog these days. So can you talk me through your research process and how you found so much information about these guys that might have otherwise been lost to memory?
Sure thing. Through my blog, I've accumulated a bunch of different data resources. And since I'm interested in names, I'm interested in databases with the history of, their names and things of that nature. So one of the resources I used was the Lahman Baseball Database. Sean Lahman puts together a yearly update to the baseball database, which is basically, in its most simplistic form, a line by line description of everybody who's ever shown up in a baseball game, even for one game, and it gives their demographic information, their height, their weight, where they were born, when they were, where they were born, things of that nature. So I went through the Lahman Baseball Database, and there's about 18,000 names in there. And I was looking to write about maybe about 100 different profiles. So I started to pick through and look for unique names or names that just made me giggle or piqued my curiosity. And so I whittled the list down to about, 100 to 150. And then from there, I had various resources. For example, the one that I really relied upon the most is I'm a member of the Society for American Baseball Research, SABRE, and they have an online baseball biography section where the various members of the organization write profiles, biographical profiles of players, umpires, owners, whoever they want to write about. This is a totally volunteer-driven project, but it's been going on for so long that they have over 5,000 different profiles online that anybody can look at. And so for some of the more obscure players who didn't have, you know, either a book written about them or they weren't listed in any encyclopedia in terms of demographic, profile information or demographic information, I relied upon the baseball bio project from Saber.
Now, this whole thing is your baby. I'm sure you're proud of every one that you, every name that you found, every bio that you wrote. But is there one name that you were particularly taken with that just grabbed you for some reason?
I always found the story of Drungo Hazewood quite charming. Drungo Hazewood was I believe, outfielder for the Baltimore Orioles. He was a real prospect for the Baltimore Orioles in the early 80s. Cal Ripken raved about his raw power and his strength. And he, you know, he came up through the system. He only had a cup of coffee with them. He never really panned out. But the story regarding his name is Drungo was the eighth of 10 children born to this couple. And the mother said to the first seven kids when she was pregnant and about to give birth to the child that would be Drungo, she said to the kids, "We're going to have a foot race to the hospital. Whoever wins the foot race to the hospital gets to name the child." So the kids have the foot race. One of the kids wins the foot race, names the child Drungo because it was his best friend's last name. So Drungo Hazewood is named for somebody, some kid's last name that I haven't even been able to find anybody with a last name of Drungo in the Baltimore area or near there from the 1980s. So it may be a tall tale, it may be a fable, but it tickled me to no end. And the runner-up is Lastings Millage, the former Mets prospect, who was named Lastings because his parents insisted that he was going to be the final child they had.
Yeah, I loved reading those. For people listening who haven't read yet, you include in a preamble to each one of these biographies, the name, etymology, definitions. And there's some really fantastic stories like you just shared about those people and even more common names. You get into the background of where they come from, the Germanic origins or Latin origins. And you were saying that's always been something that's fascinated you?
I will admit to being a bit of a nerd. I like dictionaries and encyclopedias and reference books. And I think I explained in the introduction that my grandparents were, the maiden name was Slutsky. So they came from Slutsk, which is, I believe, a municipality in old Russia. So it was, I've always been an inquisitive sort, and I've always looked towards, you know, finding out more information. You know, why did they get this particular name? What, you know, there's a story behind every name, and I wanted to detail. I didn't want to turn this book into a, you know, just point at the name and say, "Ha ha, that's a funny name," because there are stories behind the names. There are stories detailing how they got the name, whether it was, you know, some sort of derivation from an old, you know, for example, from Germany, from Scotland, from wherever their ancestors came from. There's a story behind the name, and I wanted to bring that to life. Because I didn't want this to become a sort of a poke fun at the name book, because anybody could do that. I wanted to give it a little more oomph, a little more sincerity in my appreciation for these names. I appreciate that somebody went to the trouble of naming their kid Archimedes Pozo, you know, or Scipio Sphinx. You know, people name their kids after after historical figures. People named their kids after Cal MacLish had like 7 different middle names because his father had not had the chance to name any of the prior kids, and he decided to make up for it all at once. You know, So there's just terrific stories about these players and the origins of their names, and I wanted to bring that to light.
Now, those people who follow you on Twitter might already know this, but you've recently changed your name to D.B. Firstman. Yes. And is that kind of a chicken-egg situation with the book? Which came first? You going through this personal change?
I changed my name for a couple of different reasons. I recently came out as non-binary. And for people who don't know that, that's somebody who doesn't ascribe to either male or female gender. And my given name was Diane Barbara Firstman. And so DB are my first and middle initials. And frankly, for those who wouldn't have known me before, if you go into a bookstore and you pick up a sports book, a baseball book, and it says Diane Firstman on it, how many copies will that sell as opposed to when you see a book written by somebody named D.B. Firstman? You think, well, maybe it's a guy. Maybe it's, you know, a pseudonym. So I thought from a strictly business standpoint that D.B. Firstman might be able to sell a few more books than Diane would. But there is a much more practical application for my name change. So, yes.
Now, you got some pretty nice words in here from Jason Stark and a quote on the back from John Thorne, people very well known. What did that mean to you to get those blurbs in your book?
Well, Jason and I go back quite a few years. I wouldn't say we're pen pals or anything, or you know we share a cup of coffee every once in a while, but back when he was with ESPN, you know, this was maybe 10 or 15 years ago when he first started writing for them, he had his useless information column up on ESPN.com, and I would send him little tidbits, you know, little statistical quirks, and he would sometimes include them in his columns from the readers, from, you know, as part of his, like, readers send in these comments to him. As the internet exploded and we got into Twitter and Facebook and things of that nature, Jason and I kept in touch, and he would have questions, and he knew I loved names. He knew I knew everything about player names and rhyming names and names that were anagrams of other names. So whenever he had a question regarding names of baseball players, such as has there ever been a battery of a rhyming pitcher with a rhyming catcher, things like that, he knew to come to me first, and he would direct message me and say, can you research this for me? And so we formed a nice little business friendship over that. And so when it came time to write the book and to get a foreword for the book, I thought, you know, this is right up Jason's alley. He's going to love the book. He's going to love the subject matter, and he would do this for me. And, you know, he graciously obliged. And John Thorne is, I've known from the Sabre world for many years now, and he's always been very supportive of my writing efforts and helped me get introductions to various publishers and things of that nature. So I just called in a couple of favors in terms of Mr. Thorne and Mr. Stark.
The other part of the book that isn't necessarily your creation that I absolutely love is the cover. And my daughter saw it when I got it in the mail, and she was a little disappointed that the rest of it wasn't illustrated that way because it's such a fun cover by Tim Godden. How did you get that from him?
I had idea for what the cover should be, but I have no artistic drawing ability or graphic drawing ability whatsoever. But I had an image of what I wanted the cover to be. I wanted it to be like you were looking into the entrance of the Hall of Fame. And I put a solicitation out on Twitter and on Facebook for illustrators, who have experience with book covers, who may have worked with baseball-related themes before. And I went through a few different ones, sorted them out. And Tim and I really hit it off really well. I liked his compositions, the sort of the whimsical, sort of cartoonish yet realistic, layout of his illustrations. It sort of speaks to what I wanted a book to be. I wanted it to be somewhat serious in terms of there's a significant portion of the book is reference material, and there's a significant portion of the book that is humorous, that is supposed to make you chuckle or laugh or guffaw or say, DB, you're pretty weird, but we appreciate you. So I think Tim really got the spirit of what I was going for in the cover. So it works out really well. And Tim is actually based out of the United Kingdom. So we had a time differential, but we managed to work it out. The internet is a wonderful thing. Email is a wonderful thing. And we got it done. And I think it really catches your eye. I think if it was on a physical bookshelf, you would pick it up because it's a really stunning cover.
Mentioning the internet kind of leads me to my next question, which is about the people that you chose to include, specifically someone like Milton Bradley, who, because of his domestic abuse issues, might be canceled in internet parlance. Was it difficult to choose to include someone with that kind of history? I know you did include in the footnotes section ample evidence of his errors outside the field.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not passing judgment on whether any of these players are saints or sinners. Certainly, if the player had a history of whether it's alcohol or extramarital or whatever the situation was, if it was germane to his life story, I included it. I wasn't passing judgment on it. It's part of his life. And, for somebody like Milton Bradley, he had all the physical talent in the world to be a terrific perennial all-star. And, for lack of a better term, he kind of threw it all away, because of his temper. And because of his frequent run-ins with authority figures. It's not all sunshine and roses in the book. I'm trying to have fun with the book, but you do need to tell the stories, whether they're good, bad, or indifferent.
So it's kind of like Cooperstown, where, Ty Cobb wasn't a upstanding human being, but he deserves his place in the Hall of Fame.
Exactly, yes.
I understand. Very interesting. That's all the questions that I had prepared. Is there anything else that you'd like to share about the book?
Well, it is going on sale. You can pre-order it now on Amazon and on Barnes & Noble, or you can go to your independent bookstore and request that it be stocked and ordered for you. Support your independent bookstore, please. It goes on sale for real on the 17th, St. Patrick's Day. For our New York listeners, there is a book signing party on April 3rd, Friday, April 3rd at Foley's Bar, which is right near Madison Square Garden, 18 West 33rd Street, from 6 to 8:30. I will be there. I will gladly sign your book for you. And the book will be on sale. The list price is $18. We're selling it for $15. So come on down. Look at all the signed baseballs they have in Foley's. It's going to be a really great time.
That sounds like a good time. If I were anywhere near, I'd be sure to be there. But thank you very much, DB, for joining me. And I hope a lot of listeners, readers, check out your book. And I hope you have a good night.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on.
Have a good one.
Bye.